God bless you.
Thank you. I'll be brief. I was in doing one of these presentations in Holiness Church in Bronx, New York. Service lasted 4 hours, so sit back and hold on. It wasn't all me, though. It was them. They believe in worshiping the Lord. Two men digging a grave in South Carolina. Gideon drove by and seen them. He stopped, and the Lord is telling him to go talk to him. And he says, "Why do I want to talk to somebody in a graveyard, Lord?" He said, "I'm on my way to Waffle House." But he said he kept on dealing with him. He stopped, and he walked up to that grave. It's a father and son digging a grave. And said he asked him, he said, "Folks," he says, "what comes after this grave?" They looked at him, they said, "Nothing." He said, "Nothing." "Yeah, nothing. Once you go in the ground, it's over." He said, "Well, let me ask you another question. From 0 to 100%, how sure are you going to heaven?" Well, the father said, "About 50%. He said, "Man, that's not real good odds. You could go to hell, you know." He said, "Why do you think you go to heaven?" He said, "I'm a good fellow. We dig these graves for nothing, for the funeral home, for the people of the community." He said, "But you've never been saved." He said, "No." So he looks at the son in the grave. He said, "How sure are you?" "If daddy's 50%, I'm 50%. That ain't much odds." Standing out beside that grave, he took one of these what we call personal workers testaments and went to reading scriptures to them and showing them in the back the plan of salvation.
Yeah, right.
Those two men knelt beside that grave and were saved. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
God. As Gideons, that's what we do. People think all we do is go to a motel or a hotel and stick a Bible in a drawer and leave it there. We do. We do, but that ain't all of it.
Yeah.
When we give somebody one of these testaments, we witness to them because our main objective is to see men, women, boys, and girls come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
God has blessed me in so many ways by allowing me to see this happen. And right here in our home in Mitchell County, Avery County, Yancey County, even in New York City, Jim and I have been to New York City 2 or 3 times where people is begging. We're on the streets handing out copies of God's Word and they're begging for them.
Yeah.
You can't law a copy of God's Word on somebody in the South no more.
That's true.
I mean, they come out of the woodwork up there on the streets and says, "I want a copy, I want a copy." A lady in the Bronx was so scared to come down on the street. We was handing them out and she heard us. She's tied a string to a bucket and dropped it down so we could put a copy of God's Word in.
What about that?
Ain't that amazing?
Amen.
Ain't that amazing? But I ain't always been that excited about seeing the lost saved. I've been a lot like everybody. The Lord showed me on a fishing trip to Montana, and you're going to say, "Oh, here we go." Yep. He's done a lot with me in Montana. He's used me more than fishing in the streams out there. While fishing early one morning on a stream, trying to catch some little speckled trout and some cutthroat trout, I couldn't get one to stay on the hook to save my life. Because all they do, they just close their mouth. And if you don't get them out real quick, they just slide right off.
Yeah.
It was real overcast and foggy that morning. And I had pulled a little cutthroat out twice to the bank and couldn't get him out. Beautiful little fish. And all at once, a light come through all that fog and through all that clouds and hit right on that hole of water. It just illuminated everything. God said, "You're a lot just like that fish." He said, "When I saved you, you never let me set the hook. You've never let me set the hook. You want to fall back in the pool," or as he says, "fall back in your seat and just let things go as they may."
Yeah.
Folks, we've got a mission field right here.
Amen.
Right here.
Yes.
If you go a mile radius around this church,
yep,
how many lost people you think you'll find?
Yes, sir.
How many lost people? And that's what we want to do is see men, women, boys, and girls come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The sheriff sent myself and another, as I would say, pleasantly plump deputy like me to pick up a guy one morning who can run like a deer. And we asked him, "Why are we going to get him? You know he's going to run." He said, "Because his mother says he's in a bed asleep and you ought to be able to get him." So we go. Long driveway leading up to the house. Evidently the young man wasn't asleep. We're on the carport talking to his mother. All at once we hear glass break. This young man jumps through a bathroom window with nothing but his blue jeans on. No shoes, no shirt, no nothing. I yell for him to stop. He keeps running. I said, "I'm turning a dog loose." We didn't have a dog, but he didn't know that. So I told him I was turning the dog loose. All he done was run faster. And the other old guy with me said, "Don't do that again." I said, "Okay." That was at 8:30 in the morning. At 7 o'clock that night, the way the clothes fly, we picked him up 7 miles from his house still running. 7 miles. The bottom of his feet was nothing but pure blood where he'd run through the woods. I opened the back seat of that patrol car, and I asked him, I said, "Son, why did you run? You know myself and the other guy wasn't going to run you." He said, "When you turned the dog loose," he said, "every time I would slow down, he would snap at my heels." I said, "Son, that was Satan snapping at your heels because he don't want you to turn away from the life you're leading.
Yeah,
he don't want you to give up." And sitting in the back seat of that patrol car taking one of these personal workers' testaments, I was able to read him scripture, and that young man got saved. And what that young man's doing for this community today is unreal.
Yeah.
So we never know how God's going to use us or where he's going to use us. 12:30 at night at my house. 12:30. I go to the door, and I have a grandson standing there crying. A grandson who I thought was safe. Bawling. He said, "I'm lost." Well, I'm still sort of asleep. My son said, "Well, you're on my porch. You can't be lost." He said, "I'm dying and going to hell." He come in my living room, and we sat and was able to read scripture and talk to him. And he called on the Lord to save him in my living room on our knees. We never know where God will use us or what he'll use us to do. On a fishing trip, another fishing trip in Montana, near the Blackfoot Indian Reservation, we had a tire going down on our vehicle. So we pulled into a service station to air it up. They still have air at the service stations in Montana, and you still go in and get a tire gauge out there. So I'm airing the tire up, and as I went to lean up, this guy's leaned over me, and I bumped into him. He said, "Here, I'll hang that up for you." And I said, "Man, I'm glad. I'm wanting to get to the stream to fish." And I went to take the tire gauge back. And when I come back, I met him head on in the parking lot. And he said, "Can you give me some money?" Well, the flesh and the law enforcement kicked in. And I said, "I'm not buying wine for him today." And I walked on. As I reached to get to handle the door to get in the vehicle, God struck me between the shoulder blades and said, "You're not just out here to fish these streams. You're out here to fish for men."
There you go.
So I turned around and I went back to him, got to talking to him. He said, "My name's Willie." He said, "I'm a Blackfoot Indian." He said, "I was in Vietnam and I'm the only one out of my outfit that made it back alive, the only one.
What?
I have no family, no nothing. I live here on the street behind this store. I don't even have a friend," he said. And I said, "Willie, I can introduce you to a friend."
Yes.
I reached to get my little testament out of my back pocket because we carry them with us. And it's just like going in a store to buy something and you reach, you don't have your wallet, because I just gave the last one I had with me to a little girl at the motel. My dear wife, who's an auxiliary, seen what was going on, and she brought me hers right quick. And sat in that parking lot of that store, Willie and I read scriptures and prayed and cried together, and he called on the Lord to save him.
Amen.
So you never know where God will use you or what he'll use you doing.
Right.
When I was in New York City in a nursing home, now, nursing homes here, we know how they are. They're one level. There are many stories. There are 4,000 to 6,000 beds in these nursing homes. And they tell us, they put somebody with us, and they tell us some of these rooms have Jewish people in them. Some of them have non-Jews. Some of them's combined. Don't upset our Jewish people. Okay. So we're on the floor, and I go into a room. It has an elderly black gentleman and a Jewish man. And I'm talking to the elderly black gentleman. I'm giving him reading to him some scripture. And asked him if he's been saved. I believe he said he's 80-some years old and he'd never been saved. And I was trying to read to him, and the whole time this Jewish man is cussing me, telling that black gentleman, "This is all lies, it's false, the Messiah's not come," and he kept on and on. It got so bad that it broke my concentration, I couldn't think. So I left the Bible with the black gentleman, and I said, "Please read this." He said, "I will." So I went back out in the hall to get with the rest of my team. And when I did, that done went up to the next floor. So I went on to get to the elevator. And when I get to the elevator, I look down the hall, and this Jewish man's coming towards me. And I'm thinking, and he's walking like he's on a mission. I think it's not going to be good when he gets down here, so I keep punching that button on that elevator and saying, "Lord, please open these doors." Because I said, it's going to be very embarrassing to get arrested here in New York City fighting a Jewish man in a nursing home. But he comes on to where I'm at, and he gets right in my face, and he looks by my head on both sides, and I'm thinking, here it comes, he's going to slug me. And he leans up to my ear and he said, "Do you have another one of them?" So he was listening. So I give him a copy of God's Word.
Yes.
Folks, you never know where he's going to use you or when he's going to use you. Never.
Amen.
And I thank the God that he put me in this position. Because where there's no vision, the people will perish.
Right.
Our Gideon camp in Mitchell is not very big, but we're fairly strong in spirit recently.
Yes.
Because I listened to what the Lord told me at that fishing hole that day. We got to praying,
praying hard as a camp, and God's opened so many doors for us. Not even, I mean, it's unreal what He's done for this little camp. But you know, that ain't always the way it goes. A lot of times, we as Christians will just sit back, we'll listen to the preacher, and when we walk out these doors, we're done for the week. We might come back Wednesday night, we might come back Sunday night, we might get all we need that morning and not come back till next Sunday morning. But folks, there are 97 churches in Mitchell County, and I guarantee you this morning, if we took people out of all 97, we couldn't fill 10 up. Couldn't fill 10 up. And the Holiness Church in the Bronx, where I was speaking that morning, it was right in a bad area where all the gangs fought and all the gangs come together. But they had enough respect for that black minister that they shut the streets down and they stayed off the streets till after church was over. Amen. We don't have that respect here. I mean, used to when I was growing up, the old drunks, that's all you ever seen. If they walked down the road and come to the church, they'd at least cross the other side and take their hat off till they got past it.
Yes.
We've got a work to do. We've got a mission field around us to see people get saved.
Yes.
We recently, back when Dr. Rick Sperling was superintendent, got to go back into Mitchell County schools. When I went to ask him if we could go back into schools, he said, "I'll let you go back." He said, "I'll take all the heat for it." But he said, "I've got one request you have to do. Not only fifth grade, you've got to go grades 5 through 12 because that's how many years they've been out."
Yeah.
So he allowed us back in. We went through all 5th through 12th grade. We still get to go in every year. This past spring, we got to go back into Yancey County schools, which was a blessing. They done a little different over there. They just let us take them in and set them down, let them pick them up. Here in Mitchell County, they will actually let us talk to the students. But what a blessing it is to be able to witness somebody. We have all kinds of drugs on the street that changes people's minds. But if you're a witness and want to call on the Lord and your presence, you're addicted.
Yeah.
You're addicted. Back in August 26th of 2019, somebody shot me through my left hand. We still not caught that guy. But the Lord was dealing with me to do something for this church.
Yes.
And since I wouldn't open my eyes, He opened them for me. A little painful, but He opened my eyes for me. But you know, after it happened that morning, I walked out to wait on the ambulance to come because I called hollered at my secretary and said, "Call EMS, I've shot myself." She came around the corner and said, "What?" Blood going everywhere, and she passes out. So I go on up and get on the radio and call for them to come, and they must have been close. But while I was in the back of that truck, there's a little guy, his first day on the truck, and he's probably more nervous than I was. And he said, "They've called for a helicopter." I said, "I'll just take me in the truck. I don't need to fly." And he said, "No, they've called for a helicopter. You're losing too much blood." And he said, "I've got to put an IV in your right arm." And I said, "It's going to hurt." I said, "I doubt it. Go ahead." Because this is what I'm concentrating on right now. But anyway, I said, "I want to go to Asheville. I don't want to go to Johnson City because Mama wouldn't fly. It was cloudy. It was rainy. Johnson City will fly just about in anything." And he said, "Well, Wings is coming." I said, "Okay." I said, "Tell them to take me to Asheville." He said, "We can't tell them, but you can, and they'll take you." I said, "Okay." And he said, "I'm going to give you some morphine." I said, "Don't you give me nothing. I need to talk to that pilot and tell him where I want to go." He said, "No, we're going to give you some." I said, "Don't you knock me out." And he didn't. So we drive from the sheriff's office to the fire department at Bakersville. Back a truck to the landing pad and been there probably a couple of minutes. And I hear something come over the radio. It says, "Mama 1, Mitchell, 3 minutes to LZ." And I'm thinking, I must not have heard that right. Mama's not flying today. Because I'd sat in the back of that ambulance and I said, "God, please, please get me to Asheville. Get me to Asheville."
Yes.
And then about that time, Wings comes on radio and he says, "Mitchell, we're 3 minutes to LZ." Mitchell said, "Wings, you can abort and go back." Mama sits right down in front of me. They come up and the pilot gets out and I said, "I really appreciate you doing this." He said, "Yeah," he said, "it was pretty nice, but we didn't know if we'd get across the mountain or not, but we did." And he said, his helicopter pilot was a little comical. He said, "You have any more weapons on you?" And I said, "No, sir, I do not." He said, "I know you guys carry two," so he goes feeling my ankles. I said, "No, I took the other one off and put it in my vehicle." And as they rolled me out to switch me off to put me in the helicopter off the EMS stretcher, the helicopter stretcher, a ray of sun come out, and I was worried about what was going to happen, you know, and what was going on. And when that ray of sun hit me in the chest, it just as audible as could be, it said, "My son, everything's going to be fine." And I was at such peace.
Yes.
I don't remember the helicopter ride. I remember putting them in it and me thinking, man, this thing's awful close. I don't see how we even got in it. And the next thing I remembered, I was in the ER room at Asheville, and Pastor Darren was there, and my wife would come back there. But using that injury, I was able to witness to three people. Because they'd say, man, I hate that happened. I said, no, that's a blessing. A blessing's going to come out of that. Three people called on the Lord to save them from that injury. You never know. You never know where he's going to use you or what he's going to do. We're back in the jails till the COVID hit, and they stopped us, the Yancey jail, and we're back to prison, but we're held off on them too right now. But you know, God can use us anywhere, yes, and at any time. The schools in New York City, they said, don't be on the school property, you'll be arrested. Stay a block across, because 90% of the kids walk to school. So we did. But while we was handing out scriptures to those kids walking, the kids getting on the bus to leave that afternoon was hollering out the windows of the bus, we want them, we want them, we want them. And we're thinking, well, do we chance it? So we're drawing straws, I guess, to see who's going to walk across and get in trouble. But the lady loading the buses comes across the street, so we figured she's going to tell us, be sure we don't come over there. She said, give me a box of them. She said, all I can do is fire me. And she went to hand them through the windows of that bus to those kids. Folks, you never know where God will use you and what he'll use you in. And it just breaks my heart to see somebody knowing they're not saved. Sitting on a mountaintop in Montana at 10,000 feet, I was thinking the other day, you know, that's probably as close as some people are ever going to get to heaven. Yeah. That elevation right there.
Yes.
That elevation. They're never going to get to see God's glory. They're going to get to talk to him, but they're never going to get to see him.
Yes.
We hand out Bibles over to Mountain State Fair, but they really restrict us. We have to stay in a little circle. They draw us off a booth. We have to stay in it. 3 years ago, they put us beside the Catholic Church. So that was a trip, because some younger guys there, and all they wanted to do was argue. Argue about this, argue about that. So as we were closing down at 10 o'clock that night, the booth, we'd been talking to one of them Catholic boys pretty good. And he waited all the others left, and he come around over there. And we was able to witness to him, and he called on the Lord to save him. So you never know where God will use you or how he'll use you.
Yeah.
Don't miss opportunity. You know, God calls us all to be watchmen, and we're in a spiritual battle. It says, but if a watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people not be warned, if the sword come and take away any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. Ezekiel 33:6.
Yes.
I've had that happen. That's not a good feeling.
Yes.
That's not a good feeling. I was in a house in Mitchell County one morning, a house I've been to many times because the guy that lived there was pretty bad fella, and he hated me with a passion, and was there trying to find a fugitive out of Tennessee. But luckily that morning, the way God prepared everything, which I didn't take the time to see, it was snowing, and he had some lady friend that stayed with him and had a 10-year-old boy, and there wasn't no school. So when I knocked on the door, the only one up was a 10-year-old boy, and he opened the door and let me in. And I asked him about the guy's name that we was looking for from Tennessee, and he said he's in that bedroom. This was in a double wide, and the doors don't always go to the floor, and I could see a lot of shuffling going through that in that room, and I eased on to open the door. As I stepped in, he was coming around toward me with a pistol, which I got away from him, got him handcuffed, and was trying to get him out. Well, the guy that owned the house then, or lived there, he come out, and I thought, man, I'm fixing to get it now. And he was just as meek and mild as he could be. Didn't say a word. Wasn't angry, wasn't cussing me. I took a guy on out, took him on in. Later that night, they called me at home. They said, we need you to come back out. We've got a homicide. I said, where? And they told me. The guy I didn't witness to was murdered that night. And you talk about God working on somebody between here and that crime scene.
Yeah.
I said, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me.
Yeah.
But he said, there's a 10-year-old boy there that needs to hear it.
Yeah.
So I made sure that little boy heard that after he had stood there and watched that man get killed. So you never know where God will use you. Y'all know about the motel Bibles. Jim and I go to Asheville and help them replenish theirs about every February. I got this out of a Best Western. We make sure they're not being rode in or they're not tore. You don't believe what people write in the Bible. Take pages. We hope they take them. We hope they're not one in the room. We hope they take them. But this one here had wrote right here, November 26, 2014, John 3:16, page 1100, and had it circled, and it said, a life changed forever. That Bible has a life expectancy to reach 2,300 people in its lifetime. 2,300. And when we take it out of that motel, we take this hard cover off of it and put a paper cover on it and put them in the prisons. Folks, you never know. You never know when somebody's going to pick one of them up. Them Bibles cost us $5 to print and get shipped where we need them to go. And we do that out of funds raised from church services, through funds that Gideon's raised herself, they give to, and through our cards. You know, when somebody passes away, our first thing is to get flowers. Why not give them a Gideon card in their memory that won't fade or but it'll reach 2,300 people?
Yes, sir.
Brother Joe Biddix, I'm sure y'all know him, that worked at his funeral home.
Yes.
There was 1,100 Bibles bought in Brother Joe's memory. Over 2.5 million people have opportunity to be reached by that.
Wow.
Brother Joe's on the other side of glory, grinning from ear to ear,
amen.
And he's still touching people down here.
Yes,
still touching people down here. We get chastised a lot over printing different versions. And we do. We do print a different version besides King James. And speaking of James, read that for me.
Chinese?
Yeah.
I can't read Chinese.
There you go. What about that, Tony? You read that?
No way.
That's in Arabic. Yep, we print different versions.
Yeah.
It wouldn't do me no good to go to China or somewhere and hand them one of ours. Because they'd say, can't read that.
Yeah.
But we get, a lot of churches won't let us in because of that. But you know what? God's opening doors for us.
Yes,
I had a pastor tell me one time that we'd never be in his church. I guess what? 3 weeks ago, a month ago, I was standing in his pulpit doing one of these.
Amen.
So you never know how God's going to use you or what he's going to use you
yes,
to do.
Amen.
A Russian general, and I'll be brief here, a Russian general who's a Gideon now, come and spoke at one of our meetings. He said he had 500 Russian troops with him in Afghanistan. And they had fought a bloody battle, and they had run out of ammunition. He said, every Russian soldier carries one round of ammo in a little pocket right here, and that's to be took out and take their life instead of being held captive. And he said, I give the order for them to take that round out. But to give you a little background, when he left to go in the Russian army, his grandmother was a Christian, and she tore a page out of the Bible and gave to him because if they got caught with the Bible,
yeah.
They had it bad.
Yeah.
And he kept that with him, and his round was rolled up in that scripture. And he pulled his round out to load his weapon, and that scripture's there. And he said, God, if you're really real, you show me. And he said, before show me got out of his mouth, Russian helicopters landing to pick him up.
Amen.
He had to go back and resign as a general because he couldn't be a Christian, a Russian general too. But he's a Gideon now. And he's putting scriptures all over Russia because the time, different time zones over there, they can distribute 24 hours a day in Russia.
Yeah.
And I thank God for that. And also, we're getting them in China now. Not having to bootleg them.
Yeah.
We've actually got Gideons in China.
Yeah.
And we're getting places where missionaries can't go because they won't allow them, but they allow Gideons. So we can get scriptures to them. We have ladies, our wives as auxiliaries. And they pray for us. They go into hospitals and nursing homes and take scriptures. And they pray for us Gideons. And that's what we would like to have from y'all too, is prayer.
Yes, sir.
But one more thing. We need members. We need members. The average age of our Gideon camp is 78 years old. I'm one of the young ones. And I'm 62. We need help, man.
Yes.
We need help distributing God's word. And you won't believe a blessing you'll get out of it. The blessing. You don't have to go to New York. You don't have to get up and speak. You don't have to do nothing but hand out scriptures and testify.
Amen.
That's all we ask.
Amen.
Is testify. Because you never know at a gas station where God's going to want you to testify.
Yeah.
You never know where he's going to use you. And sometimes, I guess maybe it's the job I'm in, he uses me in places I'd never think he would. In Colombia, South America, there was a drug lab, and I'll close with this. I got one more thing. That was a drug lab. That lab was different than any other labs in that area. But that was the meanest lab down there. They had the worst men working. But in that drug lab was one of these testaments. Huh, wonder how that got there. One of these testaments. And the men got to fighting over that testament so bad every day to see who was going to get to read it. That the guy over the lab took it from them and drew lots each day to see who got it. That lab got shut down. Government didn't shut it down. Law enforcement didn't shut it down. God shut it down.
Amen.
All 40 of those men got saved. All 40.
Amen.
And out of those 40 men, 12 of them's pastors. So you never know how God's going to use you. I'm going to show you a quick little video here. It's about 3 minutes about these motel Bibles. And I think it'll bless your heart because we get testimonies every day from people that goes in these motels to kill herself, to have affairs or whatever, that finds these Bibles. Reckon that's a coincidence? That's a God incident, ain't it? And their life gets turned around. Go ahead, Harvey. Not getting the sound. Submarine sounds not coming through. Sounds not coming through. Sounds not coming through. Sounds not coming Fall apart. We've got countries, we've got communities here in the United States that's needing scriptures that we can't send because we don't have the funds to send them. $1.20 prints one of these and gets it shipped. You can't buy nothing for $1.20 no more. And like I said, New York City, people's begging for them up there, and you're probably saying, well, that's New York City. It's God's people too. It's God's people too. And they're willing to listen. They're willing to listen. And that's the main thing. I thank God for allowing me to be in a Gideon. You know, as Vince Lombardi said one time, you can chase perfection all you want to. You're never going to reach it, but you can reach excellence.
Yes.
And that's all I want to do is be excellent in the service of the Lord and see people come to knowledge of Jesus Christ and be saved.
Amen.
If we could buy these with rocks, I'd be asking you for rocks today, but it just don't happen. Wouldn't it be amazing sometime when you're on the other side of glory and somebody comes up and said, I seen you donate that money that day that got that scripture that got me saved. Thank you all. I appreciate it. We normally don't speak in our home churches, but I told the pastor when he called, I said, I'll get you a speaker. And he said, no, I want you to speak. So.
Good job.